Hello, my beautiful bestie. How we doing this morning?
Hello, Melissa Rose. We're running low on coffee today.
Yeah, agreed. As we know, I go to Bean Berry on Tuesday mornings after drop-off. It's my joy ticket before recording. And to be very clear, we record during the lunch hour for anyone that's keeping track.
Yeah.
Okay?
It's not the morning.
It's not the morning. And that's why we changed it from good morning, because it's really not the morning.
It's not the morning.
It's the afternoon.
Sometimes it's nighttime.
Sometimes it's nighttime. So I always get the same order. Mm. Love it. It's great.
What's your order?
This past Sunday. So I typically do a regular sized iced Americano with a splash of oat milk.
A splash. You like just a little touch.
Just a touch. Like, you're pouring it in. Mm-hmm. By the time it's hitting, you're pulling back. That's a splash. And one single pump of hazelnut. Mm-hmm. And they do it perfectly. It's amazing every time. I went to Bean Berry a lot in the last 7 days. By Sunday, I was like, I'm feeling like fancy. I feel like maybe I'm going to get one of their special drinks. I couldn't go that far, but I did get cold foam and I got cold brew. It was not what I normally get.
And that's like an energy pump. A cold brew? Sometimes I'm like, wait a minute, am I having a heart attack?
Literally. And the sugar in the cold foam, which I don't normally have in my coffee, electric. But the crash is so much worse. So
like a coffee hangover.
No, truly. I feel like terrible by midday.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So anyway, today I was like, I do like cold brew, but I just won't get the cold foam because we don't want to crash. And I got the cold brew today. Splash of oat milk, one pump hazelnut. It's fine.
Oh, you're missing it's your fine. Original.
I am. I'm missing the original flavor.
So you'll go back to it next time.
I'll go back next time. It's really not a big deal. But as a result, I'm under caffeinated because I'm really nursing this because I don't really enjoy it. How about you?
It sucks when you go to spend your door ticket on something and then it just doesn't turn out what you want it to be.
I know. It's the opposite. It ends up being a doom ticket.
A complete doom ticket. Oh, man. Well, Tomorrow's a new day.
But it's fine. It's still doing the trick. It wasn't a doom ticket. It just wasn't my normal order. We're fine. And I'm here with you, which is all that matters.
Oh, talk about joy tickets. It's like pouring out all the joy tickets just being here with you. But I'm so happy to be here with you. And I actually have a story, an extension from our last episode, the social media episode. As we, embark on this June time, school concerts and so many fun and overwhelming end of school year tasks, I was triggered, not in a bad way, with a thought that I was excited to share with you today. So last week, it was my niece and nephew's school concert end of year, and it was so adorable. Their first grade and third grade. And it was Disney themed and it was just so adorable. But as I was sitting there watching them, I was also looking around at all of the people with their phones out recording the concert, as they should be. And there were times where my phone was out and I was recording the concert too, because those are the memories that you have tangibly, not just the memories in your heart and your brain, but those are the tangible memories that live on forever. But something I noticed was people were watching the concert through the screen on their phone. And that was a PSA to get on this platform and say, take the videos, take the pictures. But if you are watching the concert, whether it's a family member or a friend or any event, to be clear, hold the phone up, but look at the actual event with your eyes. Don't look at it through the screen. It was wild to me. So after we just recorded and talked so much about social media, it was very, very top of mind. But it just PSA, folks, don't forget to look at it with your eyes.
What do you think when we were growing up and our parents brought like camcorders? Mm-hmm. Did they hold them? I'm actually picturing in Mean Girls, you know, Regina George's mom, and she has a camera next to her, right?
Like, hey, but girls.
I feel like that's actually what they did.
Yes.
They didn't look through the camera, right? Empathy lens, I could imagine if there's a bunch of kids on the stage mm-hmm. and you're able to zoom in with your phone and see your child's face,
yes.
that could be one reason to look through the camera. You're able to actually get a front row view mm-hmm. if you zoom in. However,
you miss the big picture.
Also, aside from that, it's a bit disrespectful to the people around you, right? I am so cognizant of that at weddings.
Yes. Oh, weddings is a big one for them.
Like,
yeah.
And I think our generation has gotten the cue a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's usually, honestly, the older generation at the weddings that have their phone out filming the entire ceremony. What like, are you doing with this?
Holding it up.
Literally, what are you doing with this? And then you can't see. And then if other people try to take a picture or when the bride's coming down the aisle and they've paid thousands and thousands of dollars for videographers, for photographers to document this moment. Yeah. But you, fringe friend, fringe relative, are putting your arm outside the aisle to document it for your own personal good to post on your Facebook page? Like, no, not absolutely
good.
Not.
It's not good. A lot of people are doing unplugged ceremonies. I think you did. Didn't you do an unplugged ceremony?
Yeah, whatever that means. But
you try, right?
You try
to set the boundary mm-hmm. and hope that people follow through with it because you're setting it intentionally. That's important. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it's such a good reminder. Take the videos, take the pictures, but make sure you're not watching the entire event through your screen. And empathy moment too. I was thinking about all the kids on the risers who were looking out at their family members, watching them through a screen.
Mm-hmm.
When
mm-hmm.
actually they might just want to make eye contact with you mm-hmm. and see your smiling face looking back at them.
I have goosebumps because I remember those moments, whether it was a sporting event or a recital or whatever it was, looking out and seeing your parents and getting so excited.
Yes. Aww. So many things. I think, again, the awareness of it allows us to be more intentional about it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that. Making the invisible visible, always do.
That's it. We have to. And I've been saying that more and more, actually. I really want to brand that.
I think we have we not?
Hell yeah, we have.
Who said that? We did.
Check mark. So what are we taking on today, Melissa Rose?
We're taking on boundaries today. Mm. Boundaries. What do boundaries mean to you, to me, to those around us? Mm. How do we lay them? How do we respect them? How do we honor them?
Mm. Boundaries are
for ourselves and others.
Totally. For a more peaceful world for yourself and for others.
There's so many layers. I'm just going to say it now so we don't have to say it later on. There's going to have to be a part two.
Heck yeah. There's been a lot of requests for an episode about boundaries.
Yes.
From people on social media, but also in spontaneous conversations when I am talking to a friend and they're like, you got to do an episode about boundaries. And it's like, yes, people need support or just to hear another person's perspective about boundaries. And that can open up a window that you didn't even realize.
We haven't even talked about this between you and I yet. But as a zoomed out, what are our immediate thoughts when we think about boundaries? Mm-hmm. But then an opportunity to lean in talking about boundaries in relation to X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
Establishing boundaries with your family mm-hmm. or with grandma and grandpa, establishing boundaries at work, establishing boundaries with your partner, establishing boundaries with friends. Mm-hmm. It's really such an umbrella,
mm-hmm.
honestly, under the self TLC bucket.
Yes, that's the beauty of the cumulative approach that we have not been intentional about. Or as intentional. We're just such masterminds in that.
I know.
Wow, look at us.
And I look actually think a thought that just popped into my head. A boundary is one big two truths, no lie.
So true. So true.
Things that are opposite that both are true and exist simultaneously. Ooh.
100%. It's one big two truths, no lies.
More to
speaking of.
Yes.
Two truths, no lies.
You go first.
You want me to go first?
I sure do.
My two truths, no lies for this week. A couple nights ago, we had a very overdue parents' night out with two of our very dear friends, Greg and Jackie. They have a little one at home as well. That was born a few months after my daughter. And we're just overdue. We needed to have a few martinis, eat some good food, catch up, you know, just really get the gang back together. And speaking of boundaries, we are so incredibly fortunate to have my mother-in-law local, and she's so helpful with my daughter. She will babysit whenever we need her. She helps on a weekly basis on Fridays. But recently, I had to set a boundary with her for herself because like 3 or 4 Saturdays in a row, we had plans. And I was like, listen, I know that you love spending time with our daughter and she loves spending time with you. And we love that you guys have this time together. However, you work really hard. You work a full-time job. You have things to do on the weekends. You deserve a break. Mm-hmm. We chose to have a child. Mm-hmm. That is now not your responsibility. Mm. So I know it's going to upset you. Not really upset you, but upset you that we're getting a babysitter. But I am setting a boundary so that you can then have wide open spaces that weekend. Mm-hmm. And that was something that was really important to me because I never want anyone to feel that we're taking advantage or anything like that. And she does work very hard and deserves a break because it's a lot.
Yeah, it sure is.
So we tapped into our daycare teacher resource kit as a babysitter. This is something that we had utilized in the past, I think maybe once or twice before. But it's incredible. These people are background checked. You trust them. They know your child so well. And your child loves them. And how beautiful is that? So we had my daughter's daycare teacher come over to babysit for that night.
Oh, amazing.
As I was getting ready that night, she came over an hour before so I could go upstairs and do my thing. I just couldn't help but think about where I was maybe 8 months ago, last September, versus now with daycare. It was really just such a two truths, no lies, right? In that the version of myself last September, who was absolutely distraught, terrified, bleeding from the heart about having to send my daughter to daycare, versus this version, who's fully pink, we're back, getting ready for a night out with friends, and so grateful for daycare and the people that daycare has brought into our lives, the relationship that my daughter has with this teacher. When she arrived to our house, my daughter was on her little walker and she walked around the corner and her teacher walks in the door, and the way in which she just froze and then just got so giddy. It wasn't like the type of giddy when she sees a grandparent or Mike and I. It was truly, the only way I can describe it is when two girlfriends see each other for the first time in a long time. She was like squealing and laughing and just like, get out of town, you're here.
Oh my gosh.
In my house. And then when I was getting ready, just hearing her squealing downstairs, like she was hanging out with her BFF, and it was the cutest thing in the world. So two truths, no lies. You can have a really, 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 really hard time with something, and it can also end up being the best thing ever. I want to underscore, though, that doesn't make that really, really, really hard time any less real. Because circling back to some of the larger messages from our episode last week, we're constantly evolving, we're constantly changing, and we should be. Mm-hmm. And just because you felt some way at a different point in time doesn't make those feelings any less real. Just because I can have this perspective now doesn't mean that person was less than, or that version of myself was less evolved, or whatever it might be. It's in that moment that was very real. And right now, in this moment, this is very real.
They both hold so much weight. And the day you plant the seed is not the day you eat the fruit. And that came to fruition for you on Saturday night. And can we just take a moment? I have goosebumps to acknowledge how special teachers are. They are a part of our village, our CEO, organization of our family. They do the things that parents can't do, family members can't do. And for your daughter to see her teacher walk through the door and get so excited, and then to know the breath of fresh air that you could release, knowing that she's happy downstairs and you have a moment to get ready by yourself without having to whack-a-mole. And that she was just enjoying her time. What a beautiful full circle moment, notwithstanding the very hard, challenging path that it took to get you to this place. Both hold so much weight, and both are so incredibly true.
Thank you for saying that.
Wow. What a great, great story.
Yeah, it was really nice. It was
and
really
I hope
great.
You enjoyed a plethora of martinis that night.
I was overserved.
You deserved it.
I deserved it. The next day
deserved it.
Wasn't as fun, but it was fun in the moment. Always worth it.
Always worth it in the moment. Out of the moment, that's where the question mark lies. So in the vein of boundaries, I have set a boundary for myself utilizing technology, the incredible feature of silencing notifications, which game changer. So every night on my phone, my notifications silence at 10 p.m. Sometimes that feels too early, but I stick with it. And there are, you know, some people that I break it for, i.e. you. But it really is helpful for me to just put the phone away and focus on how to unwind in the self-TLC way that I need to for the night. But that being said, I had a thought a couple nights ago. 10 o'clock rolled around and Ryan and I are watching The Jinx Part 2 docuseries on HBO, by the way. We can circle back to that. Did you watch The Jinx?
Whoa, there's another one?
There's a Part 2. And talk about making the invisible visible. You gotta watch Part 2.
So is it still Durst?
Oh, like- it sure is. And it essentially shows what was happening during like the latter part of the episodes for Part 1. Spoiler alert, it's really juicy, and maybe I shouldn't spoil it, but something crazy happens at the end of Part 1. And
I remember.
Part 2 is essentially a documentary, all of that unfolding. So it's really, really juicy.
Okay, I don't want to trail off too much. I just have one follow-up question.
Yes.
Is it the same producers and documentary people from the initial, or is this now from his lens? Like, is this his team?
No.
Same.
I'm pretty certain it's the same. It is really wild, and new nuanced details surface that further paint the picture of his actions. It's really, really wild.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait to watch. Okay,
I'm
go on. I need
to watch and circle back. But in this moment of it's past 10 o'clock, my phone silenced the notifications, but we were on the couch, we were watching, and I was just energized to stay up late. And usually, it's important to note, I like to fall asleep on the couch. I always fall asleep on the couch, usually while watching something. But I was super excited to just extend my day. Just a little bit more. And I love waking up early with my children and starting the day. However, there's something to be said about staying up a little bit later to extend your freedom. It is liberating. So that night, I forget what night it was, maybe Sunday or Saturday. And I was like, you know what? F it. I'm going to stay up. I'm going to extend my day. And it's okay to feel a little bit tired tomorrow morning. Both things are very, very, very true. But I needed that feeling of liberty just for a little bit longer. And I thought, I can't be the only one to be feeling this right now.
This is my life. This is my brain every single day.
Sleep procrastination, but also like liberation.
Absolutely.
The freedom feels so good. I couldn't give it up. It wasn't worth the sleep.
We've definitely talked about this before, but giving yourself permission to, right? Mm-hmm. Giving yourself permission in that moment to say, what do I need? Again, this falls under that self-TLC umbrella, the yep. boundaries. Right now, yesterday, I needed to BYSO at 9 and get into bed. Today, this is what I need and I yep. deserve.
Yes.
And that's okay. And we live in a culture of this is the right way to do things. And not saying that there's only one right way. I think we acknowledge that at this point, mm-hmm. whatever works for you. But be routine oriented and do this and wake up every day and do this. And before bed, do this every day. It's ingrained in us mm-hmm. that if we're not doing that, we're being delinquent. We're like a child again, staying up past our bedtime. Mm-hmm. We're doing something that is irresponsible. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, is it? Yeah. Like sometimes it is a little irresponsible. But you know what? I am 33 and a half years old. I'm allowed to be irresponsible tonight. Yeah,
exactly. You have permission to. And reap the consequences that it sows the following Correct. Day.
I'm still waking up the next day. Am I tired? Yeah. Am I going to have an extra cup of coffee? Sure. But am I getting my daughter to school? Am I showing up for work? Am I getting through my tasks? I am. So you yeah. know what? It's okay.
Yes.
It's really okay. I've actually done that recently and given myself permission more with falling asleep on the couch. It's one thing to fall asleep on the couch and wake up, right? Once the show is over, as your Terrible. Husband goes up, right? I will fall asleep and say, no, I'm staying here. I live here now.
Keep here the whole night.
100%. And I started to realize that it actually wasn't impacting me that much just doing that. It was this guilt and this feeling of I'm like a degenerate for doing this that was actually impacting me the most. So I'm like, you know what? Who cares? Why am I making myself feel bad? I actually got a better night's sleep because I just stayed sleeping from 8:30 until 5:45 in the morning versus waking my ass up at 1 o'clock in the morning and then going upstairs and being like, well, I guess I have to BYSO now and then losing another 90 minutes of sleep.
Yeah, taking care of babies would not approve of that. She would approve of the consolidated sleep that you received, irrespective of your environment.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. So thank you for sharing.
Absolutely.
It's so relatable. Everyone's feeling it.
So relatable. Sometimes you're just not ready for the day to start and you just need to prolong it a little bit more. And it's okay if you're feeling that too. You are not alone.
You are not alone. It's okay if you like to fall asleep on the couch. It's okay.
And miss the show and pretend, like how many times where your partner is like, wake up. And you're like, I'm not asleep. Like, why are we pretending?
No, Mike doesn't even try anymore. He's like, what does it matter what we watch? You're going to be asleep in 30 seconds. We don't watch shows together for this reason.
Except for the Jinx that you're going to watch later tonight. Part
Correct.
Two.
Correct.
You won't fall asleep. Actually, you might. I sometimes fall asleep to weird content like that. Puts me to sleep. Serial killers, snooze fest.
Nothing more relaxing than a good serial killer documentary. Anyway. Boundaries. Oh,
boundaries. Boundaries, boundaries. Our two truths really lend itself nicely to diving a little bit deeper into boundaries. Melissa, why are boundaries so hard? Let's start there.
Why are they?
Why? Is it the people pleaser? is it that you're simultaneously juggling how you're feeling and how somebody else is feeling too? Why is it so, so hard?
I think it's all of it. All of it. I think it's easier for some people. I have struggled to set boundaries as a result of my people-pleasing nature. And I think a lot of that comes from having to feel like you need to make yourself more agreeable, more appeasable, more maybe small in certain moments. Mm. What that looks like and how that can translate into every day for me is the, okay, sure, no problem.
No, that
sometimes
language.
It's easier to fold than to have a difficult conversation and maybe not feel good.
And easier for whom? That's the question.
The other person. We know how we like little phrases that we can hold on to. And I don't remember where I first heard it. Probably Brené Brown. Who knows? But it takes 6 seconds to say something difficult. So whether you're quitting your job, you're breaking up with your partner, you're telling someone devastating news, whatever it might be, it takes 6 seconds to say something challenging. And that's the hardest part. So breaking that down, how long does it take for you to say no? Much less than that. Much less than 6 seconds. Elizabeth Olsen, Mary-Kate and Ashley's sister.
Yeah.
She said that her sisters, a.k.a. Mary-Kate and Ashley, taught her no is a full sentence.
Ooh.
Is that right?
Like it's a period, full stop. Technically, from the special educator nerdy lens, I hate when I do this, but I'm going to do it. A sentence includes a who and a did what, or a noun and a verb. So no. Technically not. However, I think what she's probably trying to say is there's a period after. You don't have to explain. You don't have to explain a boundary. We always say, right? You're asking for understanding. You're not asking for acceptance. It's not your job. And I like Dr. Becky's way of thinking about boundaries and the visual that she has around it or has given her listeners. She's on a tennis court. Have you heard of this boundary or
no.
The visual? So you're on a tennis court and there's a clear net in the middle, right? And you're on one side and the other person is on the other side. That in and of itself is a really good visual to conceptualize boundaries. I often think about it as like swim lanes too. A nugget that I've leaned on before with kids and with the grown-ups is stay in your lane. In my lane, I have to set this boundary. And I'm choosing who to bring into my lane. And then there are times where I'm just freestyling myself. So that's the visual that I go to in my brain when it comes to boundaries. And I think big or small, I mean, the way that our people-pleasing selves can so naturally lean into, we got it. Absolutely. We are here for you. That can exist too, but that can also exist in a, yes, I got you, but I can only do X. I can't do Y and Z. So you're saying yes, but you're also saying no simultaneously. And I think that's a really important nuance around the umbrella of boundaries.
Does it also fall in line with if I can, I will?
Absolutely.
That's a nugget that you've taught me.
Yeah.
If I can, I will.
You're setting the boundary for yourself there, too.
Yes. Yes.
And the other person. You're not saying, I will get to posting something or responding to your text. If I can, I will.
And you're not overcommitting and under-delivering as a result. You're setting a boundary and you're communicating that boundary so that you can hold yourself accountable as well.
Right.
If you're able.
And that begets more sustainability and maintenance. When I came back from maternity leave after COVID, and we talked about this on the episode with Lauren, I noticed that all of the teachers were in this cycle of unsustainable behavior, working 24/7 all day, every day. And that wasn't the life that I wanted to lead. And I recognize, like, as a leader working with teachers, I needed to make a change. And leading by example with that was the way that I saw some success as it related to boundaries. I bought another prop this week.
We love a prop.
I actually read this book to them. I'm holding up The Giving Tree by Shel Silverstein. It's one of my three-year-old's favorites right now. It's actually a really sad book. For those who have, we love sharing really depressing children's literature on this platform. But it's essentially like this tree that just gives and gives and gives and never says no. And at the end of the story, the tree is just a sad old trunk that the child can now sit on, which in and of itself, like, boundaries.
Yeah.
But there's nothing left to the tree because the tree has just gave and gave. So it's time for the tree to set some boundaries and say no, and then the tree can be happy. I read that story to my teachers during orientation to set the tone of a year of drawing boundaries. I knew I was leaving work every day at 3:30. It was on my calendar, and I could be available by phone until 4:30. But after that, I was out. And I made that boundary very, very clear. And it wasn't just talk. I followed it up with action and accountability, making sure that I was holding myself accountable to it, but that other people that I was working with were also holding me accountable. So that boundaries has to then subsequently come with a modeling and then the permission, regardless of how another person feels about it, because I knew that I was doing what I needed to for myself and for my family to sustain and maintain the life that I needed to in that moment.
In that moment, you're not only helping by modeling, right? You're not just helping your staff. You're also helping yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And how good does it feel to lead by example in a way like that?
Yes.
Right? I have brought this up to Mike to check him sometimes. He's in leadership roles and has been for some time. And when we go on vacation, or even if it's a staycation, he's just offline. He's, you know, a go, go, go. He'll be responding to things and this and that. And I always say, listen, I don't mind if you're working.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. But if you're going to be responding to things, make sure that you are saying to your team explicitly, I am responding to this right now because X, Y, Z, but then I am going to be offline.
Yes.
Or communicating on the front end, I am here if you need me, otherwise I'm going to be offline. Because what you are doing is you are modeling for them the boundary for when they are then out.
Yep.
If you're just working and responding to things throughout the 5 days of your vacation, that's sending a message that then your team should either be available, which he doesn't expect at all, but that they should be available when they are on vacation.
Yep.
Or if they're not, they have to grapple with that decision.
Yes.
Oh, I have to set a boundary.
Right.
Because, you know, they work while they're on vacation, but I'm not going to do that. And just even that conflicting feeling that, to be honest, doesn't even exist. Right.
Exactly.
He doesn't expect that.
Right. Make the invisible visible there. You have to be so explicit about it because lines can be blurred very quickly. And it's cultivating a specific type of culture, too, especially in the workplace. And I think we both can reflect back to pre-children when we would be in the office pretty late getting our work done for the day. That wasn't the best boundary setting, reflecting. And it's not the best foundation to then set shift when your phase and stage of life shifts to maintain a more sustainable work-life balance and set those boundaries. So, Melissa, reflecting back to 5 to 6 years ago, what would you do differently as it relates to how you set boundaries, specifically in the workplace?
That's a great question. I was definitely someone who would work until I was done. And if I wasn't doing that, I would lean on, well, I can always work over the weekend if I need to. but it was always my decision. It was very rarely anyone putting that pressure on me. I'm very fortunate to work for a company that is respectful of people's boundaries. And it was usually just me wanting to, you know, put my best foot forward. And if I work until I'm done, it sets me up for success the next day, right? And being less frazzled or stressed. Mike also traveled a ton when we were in our mid-20s and living in Boston. So usually Monday through Thursdays, there was really no one for me to come home to either. So there was really no reason why I needed to rush home. That being said, my working style in terms of the way in which I time manage myself has definitely perpetuated this cycle of procrastination that I already struggle with to begin with in every aspect of my life, but specifically with work, because I could always log on a Saturday if I need to when no one's bothering me. I could always take half a day on Sunday, tell Mike, you know what, I really need to crank some things out and get some things done that have just been piling up. That is not something I'm willing to do now. I will not sacrifice time with my family, with my daughter, when I don't see her during the week.
Right.
To catch up on things that, quite frankly, I could have just managed my time better. So I think, to answer your question, 5 or 6 years ago, I saw it as, oh, I have all this time. I can work and I can get things done. But maybe I wasn't working as efficiently as I could be. And maybe I didn't need to actually be working until late hours on some nights or on the weekends. I just wasn't managing my time properly. And that's something I really wish I would have hammered out before having a family and before having a 2-hour commute. If I could give advice to my younger self, your life's not always going to look like this. You're not always going to be a 12-minute T-ride to the office and have a husband that's traveling and just endless time, no animals, no children. So that's definitely a work in progress, as everything is. But that is a boundary that I wish I would have set with myself specifically. And that's also because I am very fortunate to, again, work for people and a company that are respective of boundaries. So it's really more a conversation about me, but I know that there's a lot of people where it's actually managing a boundary with their employers, which is very challenging.
Very, very challenging. And I love that you made it concrete and said Saturdays, nope, I will not take out my work computer on that day. Because like we were just mentioning before, then you're also subconsciously sending a message that somebody else should do that too. I always felt if I was going to reply to someone on the weekend, that they felt like they had to reply to me or they had to be doing the emails. So it's this subconscious domino effect that is stuck in a coercive cycle. But when you pause and hit the brakes on it and make a shift, and even if you feel like you have to answer something, I understand that impulse too. Schedule send it for Monday morning, 6 a.m. So you know you've completed what you've had to do, but it's not impacting another person. And it's still making the boundary very, very clear moving forward. It's really embracing how the people around you or on the other side of the tennis court are impacted by your action. It's really interesting to think about.
As we really preach on this platform about is overly communicating. In those times where you may be actually setting a boundary for yourself, you might be providing yourself a joy ticket, getting something off your plate. And maybe it's a bit bigger than one message. So like the schedule send isn't going to work in this moment. Overly communicating in your email, in your text message, whatever this might be, for Monday in the subject line, for tomorrow, and then communicating maybe in the email or in the text message, absolutely no rush on this, or sorry to be emailing or pinging late, no need to respond, I just need to get this off my to-do list for tonight.
Right.
I always like to overly communicate that. Anyone that I work with regularly knows that I log off between 4:30 and 5 o'clock to pick up my daughter from school. And then I'm offline for two and a half hours.
Right.
And I check in after that. Sometimes it's 8 o'clock. Sometimes it's 9 o'clock p.m. Sometimes it's literally right after bedtime at 7:15, just to see what's going on. Yeah. So if you work with me regularly and you see me pinging you or emailing you back late at night, that's because I'm probably responding to an email that came through at 4:46.
Yep.
Right. If you don't work with me regularly, you might not know that. And you might just see me in the green at 9:30 p.m. at night and thinking, oh, wow, her work-life balance isn't great. It's like, no, actually, I have a great work-life balance right now. Some days it's not as good as others. But for the most part, it's, again, because I have boundaries and I set them and I communicate them with the people I work for. And they're respective of them, which is
huge.
The biggest part.
Huge, but it's really that communication part that you said, highlighting that, because without that, then it just still falls under the assumption umbrella.
Correct.
Like,
correct.
Oh, they're not answering my call at 5. Yeah, I'm not answering your call at 5 because I'm completely offline because I'm with my kids feeding them dinner.
Mm-hmm.
We can talk tomorrow or later tonight. I'll respond to you. No pressure to reply. But the second you pick up that 5 p.m. call, then word gets out that's okay.
Yep.
And your boundary has vanished.
We talk about this a lot at work. If you're not worried about your own work-life balance, thinking about the path that you're setting out for maybe the person that comes after you. So as an executive assistant, I support senior leadership on our leadership team at the firm I work for. Again, could not be more grateful for the people I work for. And I'm not just saying that. I'm truly very, very blessed. And they help me love my job every day. That's, of course, I mean, it's not going to be the case for everyone, unfortunately. It's a big place. It's a big company. And there are some, what we like to say is heavy users. That's how we have lower users and heavy users. And amongst the heavy users, the very busy people that we have, there are some that might not be as respective of boundaries. And that's tough. And that's really challenging. Not being firm and sturdy in your own encourages them further to do that. And if you eventually leave, or whether it's a vacation and you have someone covering for you, or you go and get another job, you're setting a tone that that's okay. That it's okay to have someone who's reachable 24/7. If that's not something that you're willing to budge on, just maybe thinking about how that looks for when you go on vacation or go on a leave, whatever it might mean, it perpetuates a cycle. And again, modeling for your teammates, modeling for the people that you work for, modeling if you're in a leadership position. It's really, really important.
That way of thinking of it is great because it almost depersonalizes it. Yes, it's for you in the here and the now. But if you're removed from the situation, what do you hope for the person who comes next? Or what do you hope for your children to do? I like to think about that often, especially as an educator, an early childhood educator. So much of this has to be laid in the foundation of the very early years. Right now, my three-year-old, he seldom naps, but we have quiet time. And he's in his room for an hour playing or reading, and he'll often want me to stay. And I have to draw a boundary and say, I need quiet time. I need rest time. That's a boundary that I need for myself, just like how you need that. And he'll tell me to set a timer. set a timer. So I say, okay, I'll set a 2-minute timer. And after 2 minutes, I'm going to go have my quiet time. 2 minutes will go off. And he'll say, set another timer. And I'll tell him, what's the point of having the first timer if I'm not going to stick with that? And do I feel my mama heart say like, oh, but he's not going to want to play with you forever. Just get down on the floor and spend the whole time playing with him. Sure, but that's not reality. And that's not what I need. So much of it, too, is modeling. If you have children or if you are a teacher and you're teaching these things, the opportunities that are spontaneous that you can't write, you just have to be reactive to them in the moment because there's so many of them that happen all the time. And we can be really intentional about the way that we reply to them to help them build their boundary making muscles young so they can implement it with confidence when they're older.
It's so important. And bringing it all back, we started this with the question of why is it so hard to set boundaries? What makes this so tough? what makes it easy to set boundaries? And I think one version of that is knowing that you're modeling for your children, that you're modeling for your team, whomever it might be, modeling for your parents, for the grandparents. This is how we do this. I'm going to model a boundary that I'd like you to respect. It can make it easy when you push that, to your point, onto maybe someone else, right? Mm-hmm. This is uncomfy for me, but it's for the betterment of my child. Therefore, yes. Easy boundary to set.
Keeping that in your back pocket helps. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And naming it too, like you just said. I'm drawing a boundary right now. It's not easy, but I'm helping you learn how to do that too. Because mm-hmm. that can only enhance your life.
We don't spend all this money and do all this work in therapy to then swallow mm-hmm. our gut reactions and swallow our feelings. Mm-hmm. I had, as a people pleaser, I have a pretty immediate gut reaction when I know that I shouldn't be caving to something.
Mm.
When I know I should be setting a boundary and I'm not, with age and years of wisdom, but mostly therapy, I've become much more in tune to listening to my body, because your body knows yes. before your mind does. I remember recently having a conversation with a friend, and they were talking freely, as they should, as I always want any friend to speak freely with me. But what they were saying, I didn't like. It wasn't sitting right with me. Old Melissa, mm-hmm. younger Melissa, would have just nodded along mm-hmm. and just been like, mm, and then gotten off the phone and felt very uncomfy and feeling out of alignment mm-hmm. with my authentic self, mm-hmm. which for me manifests as anxiety.
Right.
Like, case in point, that's what happens. So instead, I listened to that feeling that I was having. I felt it. I listened to it. And I set a boundary.
Mm.
And I literally said, I'm really sorry, but I have to stop you right there. Mm. And I communicated calmly
mm-hmm.
what I was feeling, mm-hmm. why I was feeling that, and how I'd like to move forward mm. in that conversation. Mm-hmm. When I tell you, that conversation, A, went on for another hour, not about that, but continued. It moved. I set a boundary and it didn't completely deconstruct the conversation.
Right.
It didn't send it off the rails. It, A, resulted in a really positive follow-up that lasted mm-hmm. maybe 3 or 4 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then an even more fruitful conversation after that, because I set a boundary. That boundary was respected. And then we talked about it.
Yes.
And it was so validating in that moment to listen to my gut and then act on it and then follow through with it
yes.
versus the alternative. So it can be really hard to set boundaries, but what makes it easy is once you start setting them, recognizing how much more fruitful mm-hmm. your relationships can be, your work-life balance can be, your sense of self,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes. Yes. And boundary setting begets more boundary setting each and every time. And that cultivates more trust,
mm-hmm.
exemplified in the anecdote that you just shared, right? You did it. It took 6 seconds for your part
mm-hmm.
to make that decision. You talked about it. And then your conversation carried on, as your relationship will, with the fundamental trust stronger and stronger and stronger. So that part of it, it's not easy. And I think why it's not easy, it's two truths, no lie, the whole mm-hmm. thing. And when you are a people pleaser, you want to do just that. But in fact, it's okay to say no, and it's okay to say yes at the same time.
That's right.
Boundaries.
We love them. One last thing. It's quick. It's really quick.
I can't wait.
If someone ever has an issue with you setting a boundary,
ooh.
If your boundary is met with conflict, is met with disagreement, hostility, that doesn't mean your boundary's wrong.
Mm-mm.
That means that person has trouble setting their own boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And what I like to say is that's a personal problem.
Yep.
That sounds like a personal problem, not my problem.
Nope.
So Boundaries can be hard. We can make them easier by setting them. Continue to set them. And as you said, boundaries beget boundaries. Mm-hmm. Don't let others' lack thereof boundaries impact your decision to then set them.
And if you are met with that hostility or that pushback, naming in the moment, I set a boundary and I can tell that you're having a reaction to it. Pulse check. Am I right with that? Tell me a little bit more about your experience. The tell me more nugget is something that I whipped out professionally so often. And I do it now more personally in these situations when it can get a little bit thorny. But when you just say, tell me more, am I reading it right or am I reading it wrong? Tell me more. You're opening up a door and allowing someone to de-arm themselves to better understand where they're sitting. And when it comes to you setting a boundary, you don't have to welcome their experience. But as a people pleaser, I feel like I always need to, especially if I know I'm making someone uncomfy. But that shouldn't change the decision that I made. Because as you said, I love that. It's a personal problem, mm-hmm. not a me problem or an us problem as it relates to your family system.
Beautiful.
Wow. Lots of think abouts that we just dropped there.
Yeah, we might have to create a flow chart. You know, boundary has been set. This is the reaction. This is where we move from here. Let's think about it. Listeners, this is an example of something Melissa says. And then Michelle is now going to hang up and she is going to make a flow chart. Then in turn, hand it off to me to do something in Canva with that I will then do nothing with. And that is the internal operations at the MTake Media. Because Impact Media.
I just can't let seeds go. Like, someone has an idea and I'm like, we need it to be action. It is real. We need to run with it. I can't forget.
I love it. Accountability partner, let's do it. We'll create a flow chart. Let's do it.
Or maybe we'll set a boundary together and we'll say, yes, that's a good idea, but no right now.
If I can, I will.
There it is. Look at us.
Just such a fruitful conversation. I love getting on here and chatting with you, especially about boundaries.
Ditto. And boundaries part two will be coming our way.
We're not. We're certainly not. We gave the think abouts, I think, right?
I think
anything concrete? I think there was so much. We'll pull it out on the back end and remind you guys. But I think for right now, we probably don't need to dive any deeper. Don't let her do it.
I think we dropped the mic.
We did. It's dropped. It can't be picked back up at this point. Okay. Land the plane, Melissa Rose. We love you guys. Thank you so much for joining us. You can find us on Instagram at the MTake Podcast. We are not on TikTok yet. If you want to know why, listen to our last episode where we took on social media. We're still trying to figure out our relationship with it.
Boundary is very clear with TikTok right now. Who's to say it won't be alleviated at any point in the future, but we're just not there yet.
We're not there yet. We've set a boundary. I love you.
I love you more. Have a great day.
Talk to you later.
Toodles.
Love you. Bye.